This story contains references to homophobia. Welcome to Manowaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm C.B. Drogi. This week, Sunflowers Are Her Mother's Favorite by Sherry Morris. Stella sits on the porch swing and pants. It's another sweltering Missouri day. Face damp with sweat and tears, she's exhausted from exertion. Doesn't notice the summer sun burning her skin. Secateurs rest on her bare thigh. When her eyes fall on the bright blades, she smiles. Aunt Myrtle had handed them to her. Said,
"Dad had those roses before we get back."
Stella knew she and Uncle Vic wouldn't wave as they drove away. Once they were out of view, Stella turned toward the sunflowers. Those smug sentinels stood in single pots all around the porch, saw all who came and went through the banging screen door. In a breeze they danced a jig as their yellow petal-fringed heads rocked and knocked together. Stella hacked down the sunflowers. They'd been sniggering at her again. She could murder a glass of sweet tea, but she doesn't want to leave the porch just yet. It's quiet. She chopped down the stalks, too, silencing the rustling leaves that giggled how terrible things happened to teenage girls who tried to escape in the night. Stella read somewhere that sunflowers follow the sun. She sucks her teeth, knows the truth. Their cyclops eyes follow her, always have. Her mother said they're like God, able to see every wicked deed, even when she can't. Deadheading the rosebush was surely her mother's idea. Part of her retraining. She spits. She'll never cut a single petal-perfect flower from that bush. They carry her father's name. Stuart, and each white bloom is tinged a shade of indigo blue that matches his eyes and hers. Her mother's eyes are sunflower center black. As a little girl, Stella watched her place an ear to one of the dozen freshly cut heads displayed around the house, nod, frown, make big eyes, then come for her. Afterward, Stella would stare and sniffle at the giant eye, wonder what it saw. She watched her mother devour sunflower seeds by the handful, crack open the shells, lift out the seed, then spit, using only teeth and tongue. Afterwards, Stella would stare and sniffle at the giant eye, wonder what it saw. She watched her mother devour sunflower seeds by the handful, crack open the shells, lift out the seed, then spit, using only teeth and tongue. Stella refuses to eat those hard eyes from dead heads. Doesn't want that mindset growing in her, taking root. She learns to stay small, quiet, develops a desire to get away, nurtures it into a great rage. Stella sighs. For once, she's idle. She's not washing stacks of dishes, folding mountains of laundry, shucking bushels of corn, or shelling bags of peas. She's not even dodging the hungry stares of the itinerant farmhands. All that's behind her now. Her mother said that hard work, clean living, and country air were what she needed. Stella saw through this wide-eyed lie. She'd been discovered with Claire under the blankets in the dark. Had refused to say why they were naked in a single bed when there were two. Her mother ranted she wouldn't be humiliated by an unnatural child as well, but Stella thinks her mother is the unnatural one, with her dyed stay-in-place hair, layers of foundation and paint, wire and elastic undergarments that push, pinch, and hold her body in unrealistic shapes. Stella was packed off to the family sunflower farm. There, Aunt Myrtle and Uncle Vic stood nodding and swaying alongside her mother wearing fake smiles that didn't reach their pinprick eyes. They vowed to remain on the clock, non-stop, watching for signs the tendency had fully consumed Stella. What saved her from conversion camp was the cost.
"The devil makes work for idle hands," her mother said, then left.
Stella's fingers glide along her bangs, then trace the sharp edges of the secateurs. They won't stay idle for long. Stella feels the sun on her newly exposed forehead, looks out from the porch swing and chuckles. Though there's nothing funny about being stuck on a sunflower farm where fields and fields of them rock, whisper, watch, laugh, dance their psychotic sway. A deep fatigue settles over her. Even in the bathroom they spy on her. Wallpaper decorated with Queen Anne's lace, clover, and dandelions. But sunflowers are the centerpiece. Multiple monsters stare back at her as she sits on the toilet. Their distorted reflections stretch and writhe in the sink and tub's chrome taps. She's sure real eyes rove behind the wall, the cold green of Uncle Vic's, the brown of Aunt Myrtle's, the black of her mother's. She does her bathroom business in the dead of night without a light. Spot bathes at the sink. She's heard their whispered threats. If farm work can't straighten her out, farmhands will. One said she had pretty hair, that it shone like the sun, that her face was a flower. All their eyes follow her around the farm, but she's no sun or flower, not now. Her bangs lie in clumps along with chunks of her hair, writhing like disturbed furred caterpillars at her feet. She cut right up to her forehead, then kept clipping around the sides and back, not bothering with a mirror. She laughs. She's deflowered herself. The sun blisters her forehead. She doesn't care. Touches it for reassurance in spite of the sun sting. She smirks at the sentinel sunflowers lying face down in the dirt. Dirtier than her now. At their peak in August, they towered over her. Confined to their pots, they're easily felled. Easily replaced, too. Sooner or later, the sunflowers will pull up from their pots and plots, plod up the steps with their muddy roots into her bedroom, come for her during the night, trap her, plant their seed, keep her rooted here, leave prints in the same shape as work boots. They all will turn a blind eye. The farmhands whisper she has a glow about her, a special light in her eyes. Closing them isn't enough. She grips the secateurs. They'll never let her see her father. A car turns into the drive. They're back. They'll see what she's done. Tell her mother. Maybe the sunflowers already have. Stella sits up. Tightens her grip. This has been Sunflowers Are Her Mother's Favorite, written by Sherry Morris, and first published with London Independent Story Prize. Manawaker Studios' Flash Fiction Podcast is supported by patrons on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/manawaker to find out more. The Flash Fiction Podcast theme song is by Kevin MacLeod. The podcast is produced, edited, and narrated by me, CB DeRogi. Thanks for listening.